I count it a great joy to be here. Brother and Sister Raper, good to see you. It's been many, many years. I think the last time I saw you was at First Baptist Church, and you were preaching there, I think, at a banquet. And I remember several of your illustrations, and I've used those. It's good to see you. I commend you, church, on taking a month out of the year to emphasize missions. This is a time of involvement. Be a time of illustrations. The missionaries will come and give many illustrations. This is how you will be informed through the missionary letters, through the missionaries when they come. They will inform you of what's taking place around the world and the great need around the world. And it looks like you have some missionaries that come to this church that have been many, many, many years laboring on the mission field. That you'll see their heart, their burden, because it can never, ever be removed out of their minds or out of their hearts. Because it is their life. It is their whole life. That's what they live for. And so you'll hear illustration. You'll hear inspiration. You'll hear stories of missionaries. You'll hear stories tonight and this morning of giving out the Word of God and seeing people, for example, in Bangkok, Thailand, as we gave them John and Romans, and sit down and open up that John and Roman and read. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so you'll see and you'll wonder, I wonder what they're thinking as they're reading that. Of all the many gods that are here, now they're reading about another God. But the difference is that the Holy Spirit will convict their hearts and their minds about the true and the living God. And so you'll get illustration and inspiration. You'll receive instruction. That's what your pastor gives you. That's what you come here for, to receive instruction and encouragement to go through those doors and go into the world and stand true and stand fast. This is a beautiful place. And as we drove up and down the roads, and as you do on a daily basis, you look into those homes and you wonder, I wonder what's going on in that home. I've seen these types of homes in Latin America, for that's where we've labored for 29 years. At the age of 23, and my wife 21, and two little babies, we packed up everything that we owned in a little tiny trailer, didn't bother us one bit, and left First Baptist Church in Milford and headed to Mexico, south of Mexico City. For 29 years, we labored in the Hispanic world. One day God said, you're finished here. You're finished living here, but you're not finished here. You're going to go to all the world and you're going to take the Word of God to everyone. You're going to take it to Bhutan and Nepal. You're going to take it to Tajikistan, where hopefully next November we will print Russian John and Romans and New Testaments and whole Bibles, and deliver them to all the teachers that live in that country. We just finished printing 120,000 Portuguese New Testaments that will go to Africa and be placed in the hands of every single student in the Ivory Coast. They will take those New Testaments home and it'll be put into their house, into their homes. We just finished printing this. This is a John and Romans bilingual Arabic English with a gospel tract in it. The gospel tract's okay. I'm not against tracts. I think they're wonderful. But I think the Word of God is more powerful than anything. And so now we have John and Romans, Arabic. We're getting ready to do New Testaments, a bilingual New Testament, Arabic, English. This happens to be a Thai New Testament. We sent 20,000 of these to Thailand, just a drop in the bucket of what's needed there. We print whole Bibles. Last year we printed almost 8 million John and Romans, New Testaments, and whole Bibles. 1,500,000 pounds of paper. That's a lot of paper to print these Bibles on. For some reason, we've not found that the paper companies want to give us their paper free. I don't know why. I wish that they did. One of the greatest needs that we have at Bearing Precious Seed is obvious. It's prayer. That is the greatest need that we have. That churches would pray for us. That churches would lift us up before God. Because what we print is His Word. It's the manual that you have in front of you today. And it's not only for you in English, but some of you speak a different language. How many of you speak a different language? Raise your hand. Great. You know, how many of you speak three languages? People that speak three or more languages are considered intelligent, very intelligent. People that speak two languages, that's me, are average intelligence. And the others that only speak one language are called Americans. And I'm going to tell you, we laugh at that. But if you travel the world, you will find people that speak many different languages. What a wonderful privilege it is to take the Word of God, work with the translators. Next Sunday morning, I will be preaching in Manila, Philippines, all day. I arrive at 5:45 in the morning, Sunday morning. I don't know who made my schedule up. After traveling for about 30 hours, I arrive and I preach all day. Then Tuesday, I get on an airplane and fly to Iloilo City to be with Brother Rick Martin with the Ilongo New Testament and Whole Bible. For 15 years, they worked on the translation of the Ilongo Old Testament. Tragic fire took place and burned up all of 15 years of work. But you know what? You cannot destroy God's Word. And the devil tried. But if they have to work another 30 years, they'll work another 30 years and they'll get it done. Because it's the Word of God and it's powerful. Then I'll go to Cebu City, Mindanao, and meet with the translators of the Cebuano. So I'm looking forward to that trip. Please pray for me. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I am sure that you have heard many, many sermons. You that have been Christians for a long time and members of this church have heard many, many sermons preached on 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 comprise the most complete revelation of God's plan for giving. But I'm afraid that our approach to missions is not what it ought to be. I'm afraid that our approach to missions is like two charming elderly ladies driving down the road, one by the name of Emma and the other by the name of Claudine. Is there any Emmas here? Now, he knows an Emma because that was my mother-in-law and his grandmother, and we can relate to this story. Emma was driving, and instead of stopping at the red light, she went right through them. Finally, they arrived at their destination without stopping at one red light. Claudine said to Emma, "Emma, you passed through three, I counted them, three red lights without stopping." Emma said to Claudine, "Oh my, was I driving?" I'm afraid that when you and I get to heaven and we hear that we were to take the gospel to the whole world, we might say, "Oh my, was I supposed to do that? Was that my responsibility?" I do remember a missionary coming one day and saying that we need to take the gospel. Matter of fact, I remember hundreds of missionaries coming to our church. I don't remember their name, but all I knew was that they were missionaries and they said, "We're to go into all the world and take the gospel to every creature." Was that for me? Was I supposed to do something? Was I supposed to pray for my children that God would call them to the mission field? I hope that that will not be our case. I hope that we will wake up. You say, "Well, Jesus is coming back." And I believe that he is. But I'm 57 years old. And at the age of 16, Dr. B.R. Lakin came to the First Baptist Church of Milford. And he said, "Jesus is going to come back in 5 years." And now I'm 57 and he had not come back yet. Now he may come back tonight. But if he doesn't come back and he gives us more time and more life, could we use that for him? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit to the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. This morning, briefly, I want to speak to you on the subject of faith promise, grace giving. Father, help us to understand. Open our eyes and our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us. May we apply it and may we live it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The word grace is an outward like beauty or loveliness. Have you ever seen someone that is graceful? Have you ever seen a person that's full of grace? You can tell it instantly. You know it. I remember my pastor introducing Mike Patterson. He said, I've never seen Mike Patterson's work. I don't know much of his work, but just hearing the man preach and being around him reminds me of what God is like. He just had that grace about him. And so grace is a beauty or a loveliness or a charm or a kindness or goodness or gratitude or delight, a pleasure. Oh, the grace of God is the passion of God to share his goodness with others. It is a passion of his. So much so that he gave his son. Oh, you say, well, he's God. He knows all things and he knew the outcome. But that still did not mean that Jesus did not have to suffer, because he suffered much. And knowing that he would have to suffer, he gave of his son so that you and I could have eternal life. That is grace. Grace is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for the regeneration or sanctification. The regeneration, that happened to me when I was 16 years of age in a little church in Goshen, Ohio. I walked forward in that little church and I told that preacher, I'd never been in a Protestant church before. I had grown up being in the Catholic church, was an altar boy, went to Catholic school, prayed my rosary every morning, every night, prayed before I ate, and I prayed after I ate. That was a custom in the Catholic church. Now, being a missionary to Mexico, I did the same thing. I prayed before I ate, and then I said, God, help me keep it down. Help me not get sick. And I remember coming into that church. Pastor Hunter's mother was there, my girlfriend at the time, which is my wife now. And I remember coming down that center aisle, sitting about in that area back there, genuflecting, making the sign of the cross, and going into that pew. And my girlfriend looked at me and she thought, what are you doing? She had never seen that before. I looked down and there was no kneeling pads there. I thought, what strange church is this? There's no kneeling pads. But I said, well, maybe it's a tough church. You got to kneel right on the floor, because our kneeling pads were cushioned. When the preacher gave the invitation, I went forward and I told that preacher, I want to know for certain that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. And I took Jesus Christ as my Savior, and my life has never been the same since that time. Oh, the unmerited divine assistance for regeneration. And then that assistance for sanctification. I have found, how many of you were Catholic? When Dr. King, Brother Raper, when Dr. King would preach, and just a teenager, during the invitation, I would leave my pew every invitation, and I would kneel right here, and he'd be behind the pulpit, and I would look up at him, and I would keep my eyes on him till he came down, and he'd come down, and I'd say, oh, Brother King, I've just not been serving the Lord, and I'd talk to him, and he'd pray with me. But I did it every service. I was confessing my sins to him. And one day it dawned on him, Steve, you don't have to confess your sins to me. You confess your sins to God. Oh, well, no, I didn't know. I thought that's what you were supposed to do. And so I found that the grace of God helps me and assists me in sanctification. That is to live my life for him and to live a clean and pure life for him. Because I have found that on my own I couldn't do it, but in him I could. And so when someone says to me, I can't live the Christian life, oh, yes, you can, in Christ, because his grace helps you to understand and to live that. Someone said, missions is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. That's what we do. No one called me on the phone from Mexico and said, Steve Ziner, would you come here and bring the gospel to us? I never received a phone call. But after I went, there were many of them who said, thank you so very much for coming. We needed you. I don't know what we would have done. I remember the elderly couple that just lived down the street from us in Mexico City. They had fled Cuba. They had lived in New York. And now they were school teachers, retired, and they moved to Mexico to retire. Their daughter was a medical doctor there. And they moved just down the street from me. I invited them to our church. They came to our first service. And within just a couple days, in their home, they trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They were so thankful that someone came. They were glad that someone gave them the good news about the grace of God. All this faith that we live, faith promise, grace giving, faith which worketh by love, grace which is unmerited favor. It's the divine influence upon the heart of man upon receiving grace. It is all also reflexive. We in turn humble ourselves before our God and cry out to Him for help. When we understand the grace of God, we in turn look up to Him in humbleness and say, oh God, I love you. And you cannot, if you love God, you cannot but help love others. For God is love. So if you and I truly love God, then we will truly, truly love others and tell them about this wonderful grace. Job 11:6 says, and that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Wow, what a verse. You and I do not receive what we deserve. God has been so very good to us. 2 Corinthians 9:13 says, whiles by the experiment of this ministration, and what ministration? This is grace giving. He says, whiles by experiment, that is the proof or experience or trustiness of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. That's what this Mission Emphasis Month is all about. It's about giving. What's our example? The Corinthian church, do you know who they are? They're Greeks. They are the other nations. They are what's referred to the Bible as the heathen. Because your definition and the Bible definition of heathen may be something different. We may think heathen, oh, they don't wear clothes and they worship idols and gods and volcanoes. And yes, they do those things. But when the Bible refers to heathen, that's anybody and everybody except a Jew. And so here we have the heathen, the Greeks. What are they doing here? They're taking up those Macedonians. They took up offerings to send to the poor saints in Jerusalem, to Jews. Wow. These were the people that said, I don't know if you can get the gospel. I'm not sure. And finally they came to the conclusion, well, okay, you can't eat meat offered to idols and you can't fool with the blood and drink that. And okay, we might accept you. And I mean, there was great controversy about if the Jews were going to accept the Greeks until God had called the Apostle Paul to take the gospel to them. Can you imagine these heathen taking up offerings and sending it back to Israel, to the Jews? The Jews, by nature, hated them. And so that's a great example of the grace of God that infiltrated their lives, filled their lives, their inner being. They could do nothing except love others and manifest the grace of God. That's what you and I are to do. When I'm to look at you and you look at me, we ought to see the grace of God, the mercy of God. We can either give by grace or we can give by law. Oh, isn't it wonderful to give to your children? I have 7 grandchildren, the best grandchildren most of the time of the whole world. Oh, I mean, they can be mean. They love Nana better than they love Papaw. I mean, sometimes when I have to discipline our little Luke, and he'll come running to Nana and give her a hug, and when I say, Luke, come here, he goes, hey, he's not saved yet. He needs to get saved. Now, I'm telling you, the nature sometimes can be pretty bad in them. But I tell you, I love my grandchildren, and I would literally die for my grandchildren. My son-in-law was an Army Ranger. He fought in Afghanistan and fought in Iraq. He has a nature and a character about him that is rare. He literally would die for his comrades. I'm not that brave. I would die for my wife. I would die for my children. I'm not sure I'd die for you. But I know Jesus would. I haven't had the special forces training that he's had. But you that have been in the military know exactly what I'm talking about. That's the training. And in order for an army to be effective, they must be willing to face the enemy and be willing to die. Three of his comrades died in a car explosion in Iraq. It was his job to go up to the car to make sure it was clean and it was safe. He looked into the eyes of that driver. He looked in the back seat. There was a pregnant lady in the back seat that said, help us, we need water. This lady's pregnant. Early in the war in Iraq, he had already fought in Afghanistan, now fighting in Iraq. He looked in that car, all of his training, everything that he had been trained, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that had spent on special training for these fellows to detect these things. He detected nothing, and he said these words, it's clean. When he said it was clean, three of his comrades, three other Army Rangers, took up position in the front, he and another Army Ranger in the back of this car, and when they closed in on that car, the driver detonated that bomb. He survived, and another fellow next to him survived after 8 operations, and God spared his life. But he says to me, Dad, he wears a little bracelet around his arm, a black bracelet with the names of those comrades. And he said, I will always ever live with these words haunting me in my mind and my heart. It's clean. It's clean. It's clean. It's clean. Could I have not seen it? Did I fail something in my training not to look into his eyes and see that there was danger there? But I didn't see it. Hundreds of people were praying for our soldiers and praying for him. God, give them eyes behind, be their eyes behind their head. Protect our soldiers. Now three are dead because he said it was clean. Church, if Kyle were to stand here, he would tell you, it is not clean. There is danger around this world. Pray for your missionaries. Support your missionaries. Help your missionaries. They're on the front line. There is danger. The devil hates what they're doing, and the devil will do everything that he can to destroy them. He hates the Word of God. I wish I could take you with me. I'll be in Poland. I'll be in Romania. I'll be in Bulgaria. I'll be in France. I'll be in Tajikistan. I'll be in Australia. I'll be in New Guinea. Those are just trips that I have to take next year and deal with the translators and new translators. You'll never understand. I wish you could go with us and see the attacks of the devil because he hates the Word of God. It's the only thing that proves him wrong, and he will do everything that he can to destroy it. Oh, to understand the grace of God. You can give by law or you can give by grace. I told you I love my grandchildren, you love your children, and you would give your lives for them. You give to them by grace. Is that not so? Please don't give to them by law. Let me illustrate that. Wife, husband, if your relationship is not what it ought to be, you have children, and there comes a divorce one day, you will stand before a judge. The judge will say to one of you, you'll have to pay child support. You will be giving money by law, not by grace. I hope you never have to do that. I hope you'll never stand in that situation. It's far better to give by grace than to give by law. That's what Paul is telling us here. Church, you and I have the privilege of giving by grace, not by law. God is not coming here and forcing you to give a faith promise. He's asking, if you'd understand my grace, could you give? Would you give? That's giving by grace. We don't have time, but let me just list these things. If you understand the grace of God, I mean truly understand the grace of God, then you'll have the ability to love Him. How many times have we said, oh God, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then fall into sin? If you truly understand the grace of God, you'll have the ability, the power to perform, to really say, I love you, God, and mean it. You'll have the ability to serve Him. The natural man, he cannot receive, he cannot perceive, he cannot serve. But a regenerated man can. And He gives you the ability when you understand the grace of God. Listen, my wife, Pastor Hunter, my wife's going to be first in line. And that is no joke. She will be. I have a great wife. I have the best wife on the face of the earth. Why she would ever put up with me? How can she? One day we were arguing about something and I said, I'm not the stupid one, you are. Excuse me, that we're not allowed to use that word stupid in our house. We have grandkids there. It's a bad word. I'm not the dumb one, you are. She said, well, how am I the dumb one? Because you married me. I'm the smart one. Look what I got. Look what you got. Understanding the grace of God is the ability. Hold the ability. My wife and I, before we got married, we could talk for hours. Well, Brother Ziner, what did you talk about? I don't know. I don't remember. Well, how could you? I don't know. We could just stare into each other's eyes for hours. Oh, just to be in her presence was the desire of my heart. I didn't care about money, didn't care about food. I'd walk miles to go see her. Oh, that would be my desire with God. To have fellowship with Him, to know Him, to talk with Him, and to communicate with Him. The ability to give to Him. When I understand the grace of God, I'll have the ability to give. Oh, listen, we can be down to the last dime in our house, and my wife will go buy something for the grandkids. You know what I'm talking about. You know why? You know why. Those grandkids are just special. They really are. The ability to pray and to weep for the lost. Oh, Brother Ziner, I just can't weep for the lost. I just have such a hard time. When you understand the grace of God, He'll give you that ability. The ability to understand. I just don't understand why Pastor Hunter does those things. I just don't understand why my wife does those things. I don't understand why the deacons do those things. I just don't understand. The grace of God will help you to understand. The ability to sacrifice. The ability to be filled with the power of God. The ability to suffer. I need that grace. There may be a time I have to suffer. I'm not sure I have that ability, but He'll give me that ability. The ability to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The ability to accept the unanswered questions. You have any? The ability to accept it and to go on. Lastly, the ability to be saved. Would you understand the grace of God this morning? That He loved you and me so very much that He came to this earth. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I cannot be saved except through Christ. One day I understood that and accepted that. I thought my good works, I thought going to church, I thought praying the rosary, I thought all of these things were important. Nothing wrong with going to church, nothing wrong with being good, nothing wrong with doing things, but they will not take you to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I can't understand that. I know someone that will help you understand it. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the interpreter. When you realize that you're lost and on your way to hell, like I was at the age of 16, and I just said, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven when I die. And trusted Christ as my Savior, my life changed. Now I was on the road to heaven, and I had that peace. Would you like to have that peace this morning? If you don't have it, I beg you, would you get it? Church, members of this church, you're here for a reason and a purpose. It's no accident that you're here this morning. God has given you a purpose in life. And that purpose is to serve Him because He loves you so very much. He will bless you. He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. He'll give you a joy that nothing in this world could buy, or you couldn't buy it, you couldn't obtain it. Only Christ could give that to you. I can look on your face and tell that many have that. I hope and pray that all has it. Would you love Him and serve Him? What does God speak to your heart about this morning? This is the first time I've met you. I know my nephew, my niece, and their children, Brother Raper and his wife. I've met them before. I don't think I've met anybody else here except maybe just a couple yesterday. I don't know how God's dealing in your heart. I don't know what you need, but God does. And if you'll pour your heart out to Him, He loves you, and receive the grace of God. Let's all stand. Father, I thank You for these dear folks. Thank You for their patience and their kindness to listen, to hear. I pray, Father, that something that was said or read from the Scriptures, some illustration, some point, spoke to their hearts. I think about that golden censer, those golden candlesticks, the Old Testament, that oil would be drawn up through that candlestick into that wick. That wick would soak up that oil. And every once in a while, that wick would need to be trimmed and cut so that the light would shine brightly. Lord, we're that wick. The oil is the Holy Ghost. It's Your Word. It's You. It's Your being. It's Your character. It's all about You. May that flow through our lives and fill our lives. Sometimes we'll need to be trimmed. Sometimes there's some things that we've allowed to come into our lives that should not be there. God, help us cast those aside and not reject as You trim our lives. Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not have the hope like I didn't have one day, would they open up their hearts and say, God, I'm fearful, I don't understand all, but oh God, save me. Take me to heaven when I die. I believe in Jesus and His blood, that He shed His blood for me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, would they trust Christ as their Savior this morning and have that hope and peace? Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name.